You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Thursday, May 4th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside CCM Baseball's Matt Modica, the King Scott Angle, and the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, I am Greg Sussman. What's going on, Scotty?
Another interesting night between Boston and Baltimore. How you doing today, Greg?
I'm doing pretty well. Just chilling, living life.
All right, good.
Yeah. Maddie, what's up for you, my man?
We got 8-day baseball games and a big Ranger game.
It's been a while since there's some baseball.
Yeah, I hate when there's no
usually they have it very often on Thursday, though.
Well, we usually get it Wednesday and Thursday because both getaway days. We had zero yesterday, so I'm happy to have it back today.
You know, I actually haven't been to like a Thursday afternoon baseball game in a while, and that's something I should do again. It's like, you know, it's usually a pretty relaxing atmosphere, like a Thursday day game.
I think every MLB team should have a Friday afternoon game. Living in Chicago, that going to Wrigley on a Friday afternoon was one of my favorite things.
It was all, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it was. Wrigley's awesome. Corey, was probably
yo. We're not going to do a whole bunch of this stupid ass May the 4th stuff today, are we?
I was actually going to totally ignore it.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I appreciate that.
I literally was not gonna, I was not actually going to mention it. So
thank you.
You're very welcome. So hey, Corey, I do want to ask. I want to start with you because The result last night didn't surprise me in the least.
I thought
because it was, you had told, we talked about you thought Houston was just going to rock the crap out of San Antonio. I'm like, listen, San Antonio doesn't die that easily. It just doesn't happen. And San Antonio, on quite the contrary, kicked the crap out of Houston last night. But in doing so, they have lost Tony Parker forever.
You think it's? I didn't see the final diagnosis. I know he it looked ugly. It looked pretty scary
I haven't seen a final diagnosis either. Yeah. I just know it looked.
Well, he's going for this season, and then more than likely he's going to end up having to retire afterwards.
That's my guess. Yeah. Just because he's not young anymore.
Yeah, and 20 was it? Almost a 30-point victory last night for the San Antonio Spurs. So the Stevens. The series is tied up at one game apiece. Now, I still think this is Houston in six in this one right here. San Antonio, like you said, they're not going to go away. It's going to be a fight. Proud team right there. But, yes, the Houston Rockets will still win this series.
Now, I realize that Tony Parker is not what he used to be. And it is crazy to think of how long these guys have been together and stayed healthy and whatnot for the most part. How bad is his injury for the Spurs' chances at advancing?
I don't think they really had a chance of advancing anyway. It doesn't make
they won by 25 last night.
It doesn't make a difference. Remember the game one versus Oklahoma City last year? They beat them by like 40. Uh-huh. Oklahoma City won that series in what, five games, something like that? Mm-hmm. Maybe even six. I mean, obviously he's one of the leaders on the team and stuff like that. I don't think it's too much of a loss though, as far as what you get when you lose Tony Parker, but I don't think it's going to be that much of a difference. Patty Mills, I'm not saying.
Yeah. I have a question.
Patty Mills, DeJounte Murray, of course, those two guys are going to be the main benefactors of a Tony Parker, a major Tony Parker injury. Of course, you know he's been beat up, but it's going to be on those two guys to get him through.
Well, LaMarcus Aldridge has to play better too.
So absolutely, Pau Gasol.
Yeah, exactly. Those two guys have to play better. It's not. It just can't be Kawhi Leonard show the whole game.
I'd love to see what Kyle Anderson can do. I've always liked him since coming out of UCLA, and Jonathan Simmons too. Of course, I think is an interesting name for the Spurs.
Well, they are put into the they're going to this next game three is in Houston.
Yes.
So,
but you know what?
Going right into a tough situation.
I'll say this. Pop did a nice job all season long of putting these guys, you know, getting these other guys in there that, you know, have not played a minute at all here in the playoffs. But he did a nice job because he rests all the guys all the time of getting everybody in the rotation in action. So if this happened, they were ready.
They're ready to go. So yep, that's what Pop does. He's probably one of the top three or four coaches in professional sports. So he got the job done with that. What do you think about what happened on the other side in the Eastern Conference last night?
Do we have to play out that series?
Let me tell you something. The Raptors, they get up there in Canada. They can I wouldn't be surprised if they came back to Cleveland. This thing was 2-2.
I wouldn't be surprised either. But as you have said, Cleveland's got Toronto's number. I mean, this Toronto team, even though it shouldn't be, the Toronto team is better. Was better last year than they were this year.
And LeBron passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar last night on the all-time playoff scoring list.
Yeah, we saw. You know, I saw that. But in regards to this series, Toronto's inability to stop LeBron is. I mean,
it's everybody's inability.
But listen, Toronto took the team to the brink last year. They took Cleveland to the brink. It was game seven.
That was six.
It was six last year. There was game seven last year.
That game was played in Toronto, so that was a game. Toronto didn't have a home court advantage.
All right, maybe not. All right, they played hard that series, though. I know that. All right, stick around. We'll stick around. We'll talk more. Get to the baseball as well. This right here. This is the Road to Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back here on the Road Experts in the Morning.
This guy get that air guitar out early.
Oh, God.
He was doing air bongos this morning.
Oh, you had air bongos?
Yeah, we played Rhythm is Gonna Get You by Miami Sound Machine. I was doing the air bongos.
Nice.
Yeah.
Gotta be versatile.
So I still feel like, basically, this is where the NBA playoffs began, kind of wrapping up the conversation. I feel like we already started that it's going to just be the Golden State and Cleveland, which I'm okay with. I'm excited about.
I think Houston's going to give them a run, though.
Because they can hit threes.
Yeah, because they can hit threes. They can play that game. They have a dominant wing player, you know what I mean, in Harden. Well, Harden can play on the wing. They have a dominant player on the wing. That tends to give Oklahoma City. That tends to give the Warriors some trouble. Obviously, you have to take into consideration the fact that they can hit those threes, so they can run with them. You can't just blow Houston out. You feel what I'm saying?
Harden was like, what, 2-for-9 from three-point range last night? He wasn't good from the free throw line last night. And they said a lot of it, you know, was Leonard defending him, too. With Leonard out now, you know, that's got to be a positive for Harden going forward.
Leonard's not out. Parker's out.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Leonard's been playing great defense on him. My point is in like both sides of the floor.
He was excellent in defending James Harden last night. But Harden's going to get his when they get to the H. This is a comeback to San Antonio for Game 5.
Well, wasn't that like a must-win for San Antonio?
Yes, it was. It was, I mean, it's a 25-point victory, obviously. It was just a huge win for San Antonio. Like I said, it's going to be interesting without Tony Parker in there, how this team responds. Like, do they get blown out? I feel like you're thinking, Gordon, they get blown out in Game 3.
Yeah, I think they get rocked in Game 3.
I don't think
back to Toronto for a second. Sure. DeRozan had his worst playoff performance ever last night. To your point about LeBron, he told reporters, he said, I give somebody here $100 if they can come up with a way to stop LeBron. And they actually brought LeBron out like to the back end of the defense to kind of help with DeRozan, too, and it's working.
Well, I feel like he should give people a lot more than $100 if they figure out how to stop LeBron. No one's been able to do it in the last 15 years.
His last nine games, he's averaging 35 points.
It's what he does. It's what he does. Now, why do you think this team was better last year, Corey, Toronto? Biombo was awesome last playoffs. I understand that. We replaced him with Serge Ibaka. Like, this team should be better. I mean, I know Lowry was injured coming into the playoffs. Maybe he's not 100%, but this team should be better than it was last year.
No, I think they should be better than they were last year, but they didn't even perform at that level at times during the season. You saw lapses. They seem to get like you think it could be coaching. They seem like they get
same coach. They're just tuning him out.
I think so. They seem to fall out of it. But I think going to Toronto will give them a boost. We talked about this last year. Toronto is a very good sports city.
Excellent.
It's a very good sports city, and they get up there with that crowd. I think they'll at least get one up there.
I agree with that. This is not going four games. I agree with that.
It is a good sports city. They do get very behind their teams, and that hockey wise, that town is very, very star for a championship.
Absolutely.
And they got these young guys on the way up too. Who's that rookie from the Maple Leafs who was like so really good this year? He gives them a lot of hope.
I didn't know you knew the Maple Leafs rookies.
No, this guy. The Maple Leafs are definitely. He got off to a terrific start this year. They got hope for the future from what I'm hearing with the Maple Leafs.
I didn't know you ran in circles where you hear from Maple Leafs people.
Well, sometimes when I'm doing the updates during the hockey season, when I'm doing the morning updates, every time I was putting this kid in the morning update early in the season for the Maple Leafs.
No doubt.
So I could, yeah, I recognize that.
Yeah, he's their McJesus.
Do you, what do you, I mean, when it all boils down to it, Greg, you think it's another classic seven-game series like it was last year between Golden State and Cleveland?
Well, last year
Golden State's been better each of the last 3 years. Obviously, last year, LeBron James just went crazy, and you can't stop that. And Steph was hurt last year. Golden State is much better this year.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know what? It's been very, very hard to top last year. And you said in any sport, right? In every series of every final, every sport was the best you could have every possibly hoped for.
Yeah.
Ending with the Super Bowl this year that went to overtime for the first time in history, every series was the best.
Yeah.
Ever. Maybe not the Stanley
Indians,
Cup.
Yeah.
Right, maybe not Stanley Cup, which only went six games, but Cubs Indians, of course, comes to mind. Last year's NBA final.
Villanova, North Carolina.
Villanova, North Carolina, exactly.
National championship game.
Unbelievable. So it's just
even NASCAR, the championship came down to the final day.
There you go. Yeah. So it was just one of those, in the Olympics, it was just like one of those years where everything was perfect. I'm rooting for Cleveland. I'm just rooting for, to me, this is a show, right? And I was waiting for Act 3. Because the first act was won by Golden State, the second act was won by Cleveland. We need an Act 3. And like this trilogy, everything has a trilogy. You don't just have two of them. You don't have sequels, you have trilogies.
Yeah.
This trilogy needs a finale, in my opinion.
But when you talk about Golden State having Durant, just that extra piece, that like, you know, I know LeBron can carry a team practically by himself. Of course, he's got Kyrie. But you figure with Durant, they're just going to be so much tougher to beat this year.
Cleveland's going to try something. Cleveland will try something.
Oh, absolutely.
They will try something.
They're not going down without a fight.
I just don't get why Golden State caught all that crap about Ed and Durant when, like, LeBron went to Miami.
Sure.
You know what?
I think they would have gotten – he would have gotten more crap, and the team would have gotten more crap if that didn't happen. Like, I think – it was more of just, like, a resigned feeling. Like, if you can't beat them, join them, because Golden State was the team that knocked – Oklahoma City out every year, where, you know, Miami and Cleveland had some battles before LeBron went there and obviously went to play with his friends. I think that was why more often.
Yeah,
more
but
so
like
than
say you had a good job at some tech company.
Sure.
Then Apple came around and said, "Hey, we're going to give you all this money. Come work for us."
Yeah, I mean,
you'd be like, "See ya."
Well, that's what people don't understand.
Yeah.
That like, well, see, there is a difference here because Oklahoma City could pay him more, and he did not take the most money. So there you go.
Not like we're talking about, you know, a difference of $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
Right.
He's banked money. He's got to do, you know, and he was getting paid handsomely too.
Well, yes. Isn't this rumor now about like how these guys want to do a new super team now? Frank Isola wrote about it in the Daily News. I forget exactly what four guys it was, but it was Carmelo Anthony, Blake Griffin, and two other guys trying to.
Yeah, those the first two
angle.
Guys. The first. Yeah. Blake Griffin sucks. Carmelo Anthony is old. So that's nothing super about that.
Why does anybody want to do a super team?
Them and two other guys want to end up on the same team.
Somebody wants to play with Phil Jackson. That's, I mean, we have Carmelo Anthony, and then
but I thought Carmelo should have never been signed at that point. Where the Knicks were, it was like, I don't know.
They did it. They gave it to him.
Yeah, no, okay.
They gave it to him, and then you got this crazy old man. Oh my
goodness!
Please don't get
Chicago.
Me started.
I mean, I know the money was. So
yeah,
different.
No, It would have been better for him to be in Chicago. But I don't want Blake Griffin nowhere near Madison Square Garden. Already got Phil Jackson.
Oh, here we go.
There.
How Carmelo and Wade could team up with buddies LeBron and Chris Paul.
It would have to be in Cleveland.
Yeah, be in Cleveland.
It would have to be in Cleveland.
You trade away Kevin Love. You trade away Kevin Love to the Knicks. You take Melo.
No, you don't have to. No, you don't do that. Carmelo doesn't. Carmelo keeps a no trade clause. The Knicks cut him.
Cut him. Well, but I'm talking money wise. You're gonna have to get rid of Love's salary to make it work. To make things work.
Not if they release him. They're going to release him.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they're going to release him.
That's amazing.
I really think they're going to release him.
So that'd be crazy.
I think
Phil
Jackson,
like the NBA, known for those trades, at least take on like an expiring contract for his talent.
Yeah, I read it yesterday, and somebody from the NBA Players Association was like that. They're very disturbed by what Phil Jackson did with Carmelo Anthony.
That would be typical, like Knicks, what's gone on this last like. 20 years, 15 years.
They're going to release him. I'm telling you, he's not going to wave the no trade, and Phil Jackson's going to be like, well, one of us got to go. Carmelo's going to be like, well, you leaving, and Phil Jackson's going to be like, I'm just going to release you.
I think they both should go, be honest with you.
That would probably work, too. That would probably work, too.
Yeah. But it's funny. We talk about Melo this summer, no doubt about that, and what the Knicks will do. But the focus should be on what's going on in today's NBA, yeah. Right?
Like, will you, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say this Washington is going to tie this series up.
I hope so.
You have been adamant about that.
Washington's going to tie this series up.
You've been completely adamant about that the entire way, Corey.
Yep.
Washington. I want to watch more John Wall in the NBA playoffs.
I remember towards the end of the season, like ESPN had them like going back and forth in the power rankings, Washington and Boston.
Yep. But yeah. this would be a good one the night they get back in D.C. You know, the Verizon Center. That's still Verizon. Or it's MCI.
Yeah, I think it's still Verizon.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, I think, Corey, you said all, you literally, legitimately have said all season long that Washington has the best chance to beat Cleveland. You don't think they will, but they have the best chance to do it.
Yeah.
Make it a series. I'm excited. You know, I believe in stories and storylines, and like that's why I'm rooting for Boston and Isaiah Thomas to just continue this role that they are on. And so I'm rooting in that direction. But you know, I'd much rather have Cleveland get there because I certainly don't want Boston making the finals of any sort.
No.
but it's been a fun NBA playoffs. It's been, I don't want to say like maybe something small is missing. Like there hasn't been anything crazy. You know, a couple of years ago, we had every series go to Game 7. We haven't had that. Really, the only great series we had last round was Utah and the Clippers.
Yep.
But before it's all said and done, there will be history-making moments, and we'll see all that. We're going to come back. Scott mentioned how great of a city, and Corey as well, how great of a city Toronto is and how good of a sports town it is. Well, last night they had a lead, and then the judge came into the court, and that was it. Let's talk some baseball. Get into it when we come back here on the Road Experts in the Morning. Toronto, great sports town, passionate, heartfelt, the judge ruled against them yesterday. All rise, baby! Can we all rise?
No, I don't feel like standing
come
up
on,
right
come
now.
On, come on, please.
All right, all rise.
All rise!
All rise for the judge.
Woohoo! Leading the league in home runs, and he hit another! 3 for 5! Yesterday, 2 runs scored, 2 ribbies. Judge's 13th of the season. And it's not just he's going 1 for 5 with 4 strikeouts and a home run. No. He's getting like 2 or 3 hits every day.
I'll tell you, I have...
Mike Trout stole his Player of the Month award.
But that just took Mike Trout real quick. It just shows his greatness. Like, nobody was even talking about Mike Trout last month. Look at the numbers he put up.
It's BS. Mike Trout got the award for literally just being Mike Trout and playing amazingly and being the best player in baseball. It's not fair.
And nobody spoke about him last month. Nobody. It was Eric Thames, Ryan Zimmerman. It was everybody else but Mike Trout and Judge. I mean, hey, look, I only own 2 shares of Aaron Judge. This season, I was like, I need to get into some only leagues. And I really wanted to do NL. I'm more of an NL guy, but I was shut out of that. So in my American League only NFBC team, I got him for $1 and I got him for $2. And those are the only 2 shares I have. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, you know, I remember our drafts. I remember Aaron Judge went, and that I trusted that Girardi would be an idiot, and he would just play his veterans, and they would keep Judge down. And in leagues where you count strikeouts, he would be brutal. I didn't expect him here on May 4th to be leading the league in home runs, hitting a home run every day, batting .330 with an OBP of .433. Scott, do not bring me down by telling me his BABIP. None of that crap. I just want to appreciate it.
Why would I say anything negative about Judge? You know, you look at the history that he's making. He's got 20, his first 26 games, he's got 13 home runs. He's only the fourth major leaguer since 2003 to do this. And, you know, he's cut down a ton of the strikeouts. Now, you know, that was really the big deal for him. We heard about that a lot in spring training, but he's definitely got a more disciplined eye than he did last year. You know, people were talking about how much he struck out last year, but to his credit, he made a big adjustment during the offseason.
I have an Aaron Judge question. Somebody sent me a direct message on Twitter, and they were like, do you think Aaron Judge is real? And I said, the power, obviously, you know, mm-hmm. that's a captain obvious answer. But I said at some point, you know, he is going to struggle. So the next question they asked, would you trade Archer or Garrett Cole for Aaron Judge?
Well, it's interesting. You're talking from a real-life perspective or a fantasy perspective?
from a fantasy perspective.
Would you trade Aaron Judge for Chris Archer or Garrett Cole? Is that the question?
Archer or Cole for Aaron Judge.
Well, I'm sure Scotty will say it depends on your team, depends on your team needs, depends on your team makeup. He won't say that.
No, I won't say that. Okay. I feel that with Aaron Judge, the way that he's playing, you know, I might be able to even shoot just a tad higher than that. You know, it's like I like Garrett Cole. Chris Archer disappoints you here and there. You know, why not shop a little bit more and see what you can get?
Like a Jake DeGrom type, you're saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I tweeted yesterday. Besides,
he tweeted this before.
Kershaw?
He tweeted this before. After like three innings.
No, I tweeted this in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
This was well before the game.
Okay.
I tweeted that besides Kershaw, Sale, or Scherzer, DeGrom would be my fourth.
I guess I saw it in like the tweets you missed because I was looking at it like 8 o'clock and I was like, oh wow, he has a couple.
Yeah, I'm not one of those guys that as it's going well. And then, obviously, I knew. Usually, when my starting pitchers are going, I don't like to tweet anything about them during the game. But if you don't tweet about it, then like somebody else will tweet and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And every time I tweet something positive about one of my pitches, it just boom.
That just like that.
It all goes south.
But honestly,
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Aaron Judge will hit another 20 home runs this season. So he'll hit over 30 home runs. I don't know if I'm trading Chris Archer. I mean, Garrett Cole, I might be higher than most people. But Garrett Cole has got it together since that 5-run inning he had in Boston on opening day in the 5th inning. The guy's pitched really well this season. He's got a 31.5 strikeout percentage in his last 3 games. My answer was I would want a more proven bat. Because at some point, Judge is going to struggle.
Yep,
100%.
I don't think the average is going to be 3-something. I just don't.
If you have the pitchers and you got those players incoming, that's a good way to do it. But if you got Aaron Judge outgoing, people are just so wowed. You should see what you can get.
I'm wowed. The fact is, what is cool, the BABIP isn't one of these absurd 400s, right? It's not like this 480, the 430, even, you know, it's 333. It's not like a crazy number. It's going to come down. I mean, last year was a 282, so maybe it comes down, let's say, 30 points or so. Okay, he's going to bat close to 280, 300.
And to support your argument, I know somebody's going to come out and say, well, the home run, the fly ball is 54%. Yep. Okay, mm-hmm. That's outrageous.
Yep.
We know that.
Yep. Yeah.
But the fly ball percentage is 40%. Mm-hmm. The hard hit percentage is 47.5%.
Yeah, the ball's going to be the ballpark.
And if those two sustain, which they should,
because
this is, you know, look at the player, he's going to keep hitting home runs.
Yeah.
The hard hit percentage is on par even with last year when he was striking out a ton.
Exactly. So the fact is, you just look at the man. He's going to hit it really far.
Yeah, no, he's a big guy.
He is actually, in terms of height and weight combination, the biggest player in Major League history, 6'7", 280.
That's crazy.
That's like LeBron James. It was pretty cool watching him make LeBron that James. Catch in right field when he did that diving catch.
Yeah.
That was...
So, you know, Dave Sims, right?
Yes.
Mariners broadcast, certainly. A long time, New York City radio legend and all of that.
You worked with him or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I worked with Dave Sims.
I like Dave Sims
a
lot.
He also sells hats, right? Did he have some hat thing?
I'm not sure about that. I know he has a couple other businesses, whatever. I'm not so Sims, on his Facebook page every now and then, he would post some of the work. His wife has a sports medicine website, and she writes about injuries, like Dr. A. Mm-hmm. She wrote about Greg Bird. So she, you know, broke it down, researched the story, broke it down, and she was like, you know, Bird was tearing it up in the spring. He had a situation where foul ball was off the ankle, whatever the case may be. The player said he was fine, he would continue to play through it. Struggled coming out the gate. And she said she read where, just during the course of a game, Joe Girardi was watching Greg Bird. And Joe Girardi said he noticed that it seems like Bird doesn't have the power in his lower half. And he was like, he probably should be sent in for an MRI to see if it's an injury in the lower half because he's not exploding through the lower half. And I was like, wow, that made sense. So they did the test, whatever, and they found out that, you know, Bird has his ankle injury.
Right.
Terry Collins. See what I'm saying right there?
Yeah, no, right.
So when you say it's not the manager's fault, this is a situation. They're not comparing Mets to Yankees. It could have been anybody. I just was reading it last night. You feel what I'm saying?
This is a situation. Your point in that he spotted that, my point of anger was with the Mets. Forget the part that he started.
Yeah.
Nothing we can do. He started that game. It's the pitch before he winced off the mound and walked off.
Yep.
Other people saw it. How did not even Terry Collins? How did not work,
anybody else,
you know, see that? Somebody say, "Hey, something's up." Somebody go out there. Yeah. You know, this is the franchise.
So it's like the managers can pick these type of things up when you got, you know, a guy in place that is, you know, if you know a player is struggling, you know what I mean? You're like, well, let me take a little bit deeper look at his mechanics and stuff like that. Maybe let me see if I know what's going on. Obviously, bending around ball players and playing himself
for
so long.
That's like pitchers, though. We look at the velocity. If a pitcher's velocity is down in a game, we automatically say, hey, something's wrong. If you see like a big discrepancy.
The interesting point about what you brought up, Corey, is that if Bird comes back healthy, now he had a great Arizona Fall League.
Yeah.
He had a great spring. And if this glow start is just due to health, and then you got Bird and you have Judge in that lineup.
And Sanchez.
And Sanchez and Matt Holliday hit a 300 career home run last night.
That's nice.
This is going to be a very good offense. The whole thing is the starting pitching, I think, is going to be shaky.
Sure.
But for fantasy purposes, this is a lineup you can continue to glean from because – who expected Jacoby Ellsbury to come back the way
he's
did?
Injured. He's
Brett
injured.
Gardner is, but when he's been healthy, he's been playing well. And nobody hardly even talks about how good Starlin Castro is.
You're
100% right. The Yankee lineup from really top to bottom has been really good.
Well, you guys are Yankee fans, and the funny thing now is we were talking about this was a rebuilding year, that stuff. Yankees keep this up. They're going to be making a move for a starting pitcher. You're going to see a trade coming up.
Sure. Yankees have one of the best records in baseball right now. They're sitting at 17-9. Like, if they continue this trend where they're winning series and they're winning a lot of games, they're going to take a stab at it.
Yeah. I mean,
as they should, you know.
I don't think they're going to challenge Boston for the division. And I think they're going to come. I don't think they're going to eight game. Like, they're quite as good as they seem right now, but I think they can contend for a wild card spot.
Yeah, but I mean, look, they got Tanaka. Severino's proof. Look, Severino, he had a rough night the other night. He's going to have
a nice year. Yeah.
But you got
good.
Severino, who's proven that he is a starting pitcher. You got Montgomery, who's a crafty fighter. I do like that kid. Sabathia, you know, I don't know, the last
washed.
Couple games, like, you know, 15 runs,
yeah,
five homers. He's done. But, you know.
And anybody with Pineda.
There is going to be a move made. There's going to be a team that's fallen out of it.
But the question is, you know, if they do this, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to do something where they trade a major prospect away for Jose Quintana? Like, is that something they're going to do? I don't know.
I don't know if they're that type of Yankee team anymore, but what's interesting to see with Severino is it was a maturing process the other night because he wasn't getting by with this fastball. And the Yankees analyst talked about this. He started going more to his changeup and his slider, and that Alex Rodriguez even observed, like, last year he would just keep going back to the fastball and trying to blow it by people. This is maturing for Severino. That gives me hope if I'm a Severino fantasy owner and or a Yankee fan.
Yeah, I mean, Torres is not getting traded. That we know. That's the jewel and stuff. But they made so many good acquisitions, and their farm system now is stacked where they have the ability to go out. I'm not saying it's going to be Jose Quintana, but to get somebody like that.
And it's interesting, if you're a Yankee fan, you grew up seeing, okay, we get the big free agent, boom, we make the big move. The way the Yankees are building things now is different.
It is. It certainly is. You talked just a second ago, CeCe Sabathia. He started last night, got blown out. Not a good start. Not a good start for him.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah, George Kurtz had a good Sabathia tweet.
What'd he say?
It was like his last 11 innings.
I hate him.
Yeah, George comes off as that angry guy, but I think he's just a big teddy bear.
Yeah, I agree.
Kaz is really good. Chapman gets a 6-8. Then Marcus Stroman left this game early. 3 innings pitch. He gets blown out also. Lost a couple of home runs, including the Judge home run. And he left early with an armpit injury here, man.
Yeah, it was tightness. Yeah.
Tightness in the armpit area.
Yeah.
That would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah, I guess now they're saying it's more bicep related. But he's saying
I asked Noah about that.
Yeah, he's saying that he's going to make his next start. We always hear that, you know.
Yeah.
In the optimism. Optimism.
Yesterday I said I wasn't worried really about Corey Kluber until I heard something, and now he's on the DL.
There you go. He's on the DL, and he's going to be on a 10-day DL. We'll see how long that lasts. Also mentioned Cole Hamels out the next 8 weeks with that oblique injury. When we come back, though,
you know Cole Hamels is on, right? What's out Wars team?
Oh boy, that's not good. All right, we're gonna come back. I do want to talk about the Mets here, who put up 16 runs. This guy said that's next. I'm gonna rush for the morning. You know who sings this song?
Wait, I know this. Wait, I know this.
Yeah,
I
know it all the time.
He played instrument to songs he don't know.
No, I do know it. That's why I do know this song. I do know the song. I know this. You're going to tell me what it is and I go.
Oh, no. Wait.
It's a country song?
It's a country song, yes. You don't know. I dug my keys into the side of a pretty little four-wheel drive.
Like Blake Shelton or somebody.
No, this is a girl. This female is a female singer. Artist. Carrie, I just can't remember.
That's correct.
Yeah, there we go. I should have known that.
You should have. It's true.
Yeah,
Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
So the New York Mets last night threw up 16 runs on 20 hits, and do you ever feel, Corey, if you were a Mets fan, which you're not,
God no.
Now would you feel bad for doing this against poor Bartolo?
Yeah, because Bartolo used to be our boy, what I'm saying? And Bartolo was in my lineup last night, so makes it a little bit,
daily more, or seasonal?
Seasonal. Makes it a little bit more personal. But no, I mean, it is what it is. You go out there between those lines, if Bartolo got to get his ass kicked, Bartolo got to get his ass kicked, and the Mets did a good job of kicking Bartolo's ass.
What's a shame is, if you saw in the offseason, he had some impressive workout videos. Remember those things he was doing?
Big sexy. You know what? DeGrom, it was interesting last night. He didn't have his best stuff. 5 innings pitched, 5 earned runs, 5 walks. You could see him getting very frustrated with himself. But he got the win, and it's almost like fantasy baseball karma kind of evened out, because he's had some very good starts this year where he's gotten no decision. It kind of evened out if you're a DeGrom owner.
The one thing about DeGrom, that's his second game with five or more walks. He did that against the Nationals.
And you don't really think of Jake DeGrom as having control issues.
No. You think of him as striking people out.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is an interesting one. Oh, boy, this is not good. I'm looking at my opponent today. He is Ivan Nova. That's not good.
The National League Pitcher of the Month.
That's
for the
right.
First month.
Indeed. But yeah, so DeGrom has the 5 walks, strikes out 5, only last 5 innings, a lot of fives.
Yeah, I was
around.
Praying to get that last out, because he was pretty much coming to the end of his rope. He was going to get
109 pitches in those 5 innings.
He got his EP like right there at the end, yeah.
Shout out to Matt Kemp, though. When he was injured, and the night they were opening up SunTrust Park,
yes,
it was a Friday, and they had him on the MLB Network, and he was on the DL at the time, and he said that this park was going to play for hitters, and especially when it gets warm, and I mean left-handed batters are having a
crushing it. Absolutely. Now, you gotta,
I think maybe because it's off the freeway, it probably creates some kind of
wind. Yeah. You're probably
and
right.
He
about
said
that.
It was going to help his game too, because it's obviously we're watching everything go to right center. Mm. He says he hits a lot of balls to right center.
Well, so. It's interesting that you actually bring this up, because Nando just said, this is so interesting. Literally, 2 seconds ago, Nando sent me an email with an article from Andrew Perpetua, where he talked about the wind effects at SunTrust Park.
Mm-hmm. The force is strong today.
Maybe it's something about this made of force stuff is true.
Jedi mind tricks everywhere.
I will send this to Modica, because I'm sure, Corey, you could care less.
But no, I'm telling you, I saw the wind. It's off the freeway. It's got a big thing in the middle. So it's like a ton of wind.
And they're also
building.
And
you're talking about right center field, like him and he's saying. Jay Bruce said his object this year is to hit the ball right, more to right center field. He hit 2 home runs the other night in Grand Slam in this park.
You know, it's funny. The Mets scored 16 runs. They crushed, they crushed the Braves 16-5.
How about Jose Reyes?
With 0 home runs, which is wild to me. I mean,
5 RBIs, bases clearing triple.
I guess it was good that we didn't remove him from the game.
Yes. Yeah.
He's hitting like 380 over the past week with 3 home runs.
He has
and you know, it's also funny here, but there's always controversy around the match, and there's 2 things that really stand out. Oh, there's 3 things that stand out. One, you had what Neil Walker and Jose Reyes did last night, forgetting how many outs there were. 2 guys in the same team, which is crazy. The second thing was on Twitter, with Aaron Judge doing well and Michael Conforto doing well, all these Yankee fans arguing like, I'd rather have Conforto, I'd rather have Judge. I was like, why can't we just enjoy bowling? Why are we doing that? That's history, though.
I mean, this thing goes way back. All right, you talk about in the 80s. I'd rather have Hernandez. I'd rather have Mattingly. Then you go back even to like the 50s. Where I'd rather have Willie. I'd rather have Mickey. I'd rather have the Duke. It's tradition.
That's cool. Like those kind of arguments, I'm all down for.
I would never trade Josh.
Like Scott and Corey. Oh, he's
it's not an argument.
It's fun, but
tearing into Scott.
As a Met fan, I really can't
argue
with
behind it, because you watch the Mets more than you do the Yankees.
Now here's the third controversy from last night, which again, I heard what people said about it, and I heard it downplayed. But because that's the Mets, I question the illegitimacy, I should say, of the report. Like, I believe it. I mean, again, maybe it's because the Mets just haven't earned my trust as an organization to believe them. I'm getting there. I'm building it up. Maybe it's just the Mets because I don't believe anything they tell me anymore. But evidently, the report was that Addison Reed was pissed off pitching the seventh inning of this game, especially when it's a 9-5 game, and they bring in Addison Reed in the seventh inning, and the report was that he was all angry about, you know, he was the closer, of course, when Familia was suspended, then was the hashtag eighth inning guy. He came in the seventh, and supposedly he was all annoyed that he was not the hashtag eighth inning guy. He pitched the seventh. Now, Terry Collins is like, listen, that's not the case at all. Like, he was totally fine with it. We wanted him to face the heart of the Braves order in the seventh inning. But, Corey, I believe it. Yeah. I believe Addison Reed was 100% pissed off.
Yeah, no, he was like, this is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is ridiculous. Y'all throwing me out here in the seventh inning. What the hell is going on? What happens if Familia gets hit? You want me to, you know what I mean? Of hurt. You know what I'm saying? So, But here's the thing, though. It's still, he put you out there. Go ahead and pitch the inning.
And he did. He pitched a totally clean inning. 21 pitches, struck a guy out. But the fact that he was even pissed off is a joke.
Yeah,
it is. It's part of a problem with baseball, as we talked about the Dylan Betances issue in the offseason with the arbitration.
Yeah.
But once DeGrom left the game, and he did not pitch well.
Nope.
But once he left the game, the Mets were up about 9-5, and I tweeted out, the Mets' fate is in the hands of their bullpen. Buckle up, because the bullpen's been, you know. So Addison Reed needs to go out there whenever he's told to go out there. He needs to be effective whenever he's out there. And, you know, look, you can't complain. The Mets' bullpen, four scoreless innings, they allowed one hit. That was a damn good job.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, whether the report is true, last night the cameras actually caught him, like, you know, kind of like tersely talking to Collins, and Collins had to address it with the media after the game.
Yeah, so, yeah. But like, I don't believe Terry Collins downplaying, and they haven't earned that for me anymore, you know?
Right, well, of course, the manager's going to downplay it regardless, I think, in any situation.
Yeah.
Can we get your Terry Collins impersonation? Terry Collins downplaying the situation with Addison Reed.
You got to ask me a question as a reporter.
Okay. Scott Engel from RotoExperts.com. I'm in the Fantasy Sports Network. I saw that it seemed as if you and Addison Reed had some words in the dugout. What was going on at that point?
It's going to be like the goddamn words that you and me are about to have if you keep asking me this goddamn question.
Well, I think it's a legit question. TV cameras caught it. You know, we saw it, and we just want to know if there was an issue with Addison Reed coming to you about his playing
time. Is it going
to
be legit when the TV cameras catch me popping you once?
All right. All right. Oh, sorry, Mr. Collins.
You know, my friends at Citi Field love when I do that because it's kind of like I put a twist on it. I call it Evil Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Terry's fuse can kind of go in any second.
That was funny, Scotty.
Yeah.
That was a funny one.
Goddamn right it was. I could probably do Collins having like a dust up with Reyes.
No.
Nope. No. I do think his Reyes is pretty good.
I should take you out of the goddamn game. Well, I forgot there was 2 outs. What do you want from me? You should know that's goddamn 2 outs. And get your goddamn ass on the bench.
And then Jose Reyes says, no, it stays in the game. The Indians defeated the Detroit Tigers last night by a score of 3-2. The story I want to get into before we get into this game is Corey Kluber. Left the game.
Oh, no.
2 days ago with back soreness or tightness. Left the game. Said it wasn't serious, of course, after the game. Matt, now he's on the DL.
Yeah, I said it yesterday morning. Yeah, I'm not going to be concerned until I hear further. And then yesterday afternoon I heard further that he's going to the DL. I don't know if it's just, you know what, we're going to skip your turn, put you in the 10-day DL. That's what I'm hoping. He's pretty much, you know, he's the ace of the Indians. He needs to be back there for them. I have full confidence, if healthy, Kluber will turn it around and pitch very well the rest of the season.
Yeah, as long as he can get healthy, I agree. Just like we saw a slow start last year, I think he'd come on, get healthy, come back, and be really, really
good. Yeah, and the fact that they went to Game 7 in the World Series, you know, look at all the Cub pitchers. Their velocity's all down. They're all struggling a bit. So you got to give these guys a little bit of time. Carrasco,
deep
though,
runs like that tax your staff.
Yes, that's definitely true. And The one bright spot for the Indians is a guy that we were very concerned with, like kind of mid-late spring, was Carrasco, and he's been pitching well.
Yeah, now here's the thing with Carrasco, and I said this during the preseason. I said, not a major injury. In May, nobody's going to remember it. And look at Carrasco. He's been absolutely marvelous. When you look at some of the – he had 7 walks this year. 5 of them came in one game on April 16th against Detroit. Look at the strikeouts. He's had 4 games of 7 or more. He's got a 120 ERA because so far he's just allowed 26 hits in 41 innings, and that 5 walks kind of bloated it. He's got a 120 WHIP. I mean, and the WHIP could be even lower. A lot of people aren't talking about how good Carrasco has been.
Well, it's funny because remember Carrasco was a guy that was hurt or seemingly hurt at the end of spring training, and people were very, very nervous. Very nervous.
He fell in drafts.
Fell in my draft. I mean, I know a guy in my league didn't keep him because they're like, listen, I don't want to get involved with this because I'll take somebody else. I'll take a fresh start rather than getting on Carrasco. These are one of the cases where he was tremendous.
Scott makes a great point in the fact that 5 walk game. I mean, the strikeouts have always been there for Carrasco.
Yeah.
But if he keeps those walks down, I mean, this is a pitcher that everybody says, if he can ever get to 200 innings, can be a Cy Young Award winner.
It's really crazy looking at this, like how the Indians do this, right? Like Carrasco goes 6, pitches well. Andrew Miller comes on for 2, 4 strikeouts out of the 6 batters he faced. Out of the 7 batters he faced, he's allowed a hit. He's not allowed to run all season. Cody Allen walked a couple guys. He isn't allowed any runs. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You see, this is how you're supposed to play the game, right? Now, I guarantee you, when I scroll down and look at the time, this game would be under 3 hours.
And did you see the matchup between Miggy and Miller? That was pretty awesome.
I just happened to see Miggy back in the lineup after leaving the day before. Yeah. We were a little concerned about that. We talked to Dr. Ray about Miggy yesterday and the groin injury.
I
don't
have the time. I think the problem with Miggy this year, I have him on a couple teams, is he's just another year older, and it's just going to be one of those where you got to hold your breath all season long.
Well, wasn't it 2 years ago that he was getting hurt too, and he just put up spectacular numbers? I think this is pretty much Miggy and Scope right here. Like, comes back from the groin injury, homers, gets hurt again.
Yeah, well, I mean, last September, supposedly he had a really bad ankle injury, and he went off. So, I mean,
what year was it? I think it was 2014, 2015. He suffered some injuries, and he had a great run, like, down the stretch and in the playoffs.
Yeah, the thing with Miggy, him and, like, Albert Pujols are always hurt now, but they always seem to play. And when they play, they seem to put
Ryan Braun, too.
Yeah, Braun, too. Yeah. That's a great one, too. I mean, Braun, as frustrated as
he's always banged up.
He's always, like, day to day.
Yeah.
And what's the deal with Eddie? Were you worried about Eddie yet?
I don't think so. I mean, look, he's batting 198. That's not good.
No.
But I'm not going to worry about him. He's going to have, say, next month.
He's one of those power hitters. Yeah, when he heats up, he'll hit seven in a week.
The Pirates going to be going wild around the bases and, everybody's going to forget about his slow start. Yeah.
Ian Kinsler left this game with a leg injury. Matt, what are you seeing here on Ian Kinsler?
I didn't know this. I don't know the severity of it.
Said he's going to be reevaluated today.
Yeah, he's a really integral part for this team. I mean, he's a player that seems to be getting better with age. I mean, he's not young, but I mean, the last couple of seasons, he's really.
Yeah, didn't the hard hit rate like jump up last year?
Yeah, I mean, everything kind of jumped. Yeah. He's somebody like, where you like to use the expression, he gets like wine, he gets better with age. That's Ian Kinsler. I mean, he was always a good player, but he's actually taken the game up. The last couple of seasons, up a notch.
Hey, Scott, Matt Boyd pitched 7 2/3 last night, almost 8 innings. 3 runs, struck out 4, walked 3, a lot of 5 hits. The guy's been pretty good this year, Matt Boyd.
Yeah, Matt Boyd had that one really bad start that kind of like excavated things for him. But, this is a guy that Matt talks about that you basically drafted as your 5th or 6th starter. I know I took him as a 6th starter in one of my leagues. And mostly the results have been pretty good.
Yeah, he's a guy that was probably cut after that first start in a lot of leagues. And,
he was.
Worth picking up then, gentlemen?
Yeah, I mean, like Scott just mentioned, he's a back, and he's vital to the
He has not allowed more than 3 runs in any of his last 6 starts since the big blow-up to begin the season.
There you go. Pick up Matt Boyd. We'll come back. Roto Experts at the Park next.
If you...
It's the Roto Experts in the morning here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. After one day off, We return to the park, and this time we're not even in a major league park, we're in a minor league park, because Scotty, Michael Waterloo, who writes for RotoExperts.com, inside the Exclusive Edge package, which is available right now in season, you get articles from the King, his special reports, you get Michael Florio's content, you get Frank Stanfield's content, Brandon Williams, you get so many of these guys inside the Exclusive Edge package, and Michael Waterloo got a chance to actually get some sound for us.
Yeah, Michael Waterloo was actually Gary Sanchez's first rehab assignment game the other night as the Iron Pigs took on Scranton's Wilkes-Barre, the double-A affiliate of the Yankees, and he actually got to speak to Scranton Wilkes-Barre manager Al Penrique after the game, and here were some of his comments.
You know, for me, he played the full game just to test him a little bit. I was hoping that they would run on him, but, you know, we didn't get any chance. His throw between innings looked good. But, again, to answer your question, I think that the key is, you know, what he shows behind the plate. We know he's going to hit. Defensively, we want to make sure that he's ready, that he's 100%.
And there's Al Penrique from Scranton Wilkes-Barre, and he's basically saying that they have to see Sanchez play a full game first. He's only played 7 innings in each of his first 2 starts.
And it looks like the injury to Austin Romine is not serious enough to make him change the Yankees' plan. So it does look like Gary Sanchez will come back tomorrow for the Bombers. DH today, 9 innings at Triple A in Scranton Wilkes-Barre. And then you'll get him back in the lineup for the Yankees tomorrow against the Cubs, which should be awesome.
Yes, and you'll be able to see the full interview later today on RotoExperts.com. In addition, you can download it now on Audio Boom, Google Play, iTunes, and we're also going to hear from Yankees top prospect Clint Frazier tomorrow.
Oh, how about that? Yeah. You know, Clint Frazier, and it's interesting because no one's talking about Clint Frazier given what Judge has been doing, given that Ellsbury's been good,
right,
given that Brett Gardner's actually gotten very, very hot over the last couple of days. No one's talking about Clint Frazier, who's, you know, had his ups and downs in AAA this year, but he was the major piece that came over in the Andrew Miller trade. We were just talking about Andrew Miller. Clint Frazier was the primetime piece in that trade, and the Yankees expect big things from him.
Yeah, there was actually some talk. I remember when Judge was slumping early in spring training. Oh, could actually, like, Frazier have a shot at playing in right field? And I think he's at least a year away for the Yankees.
Well, you know, as you have said, when you're in AAA, you don't, the teams do not expect you have much time there, especially some of the top prospects that maybe not being a year away. I expect us to see Clint Frazier at some point this year. I do,
but I'm saying, you know, for him to make a true fantasy impact.
Oh, fantasy impact, okay.
I think it's like a year away.
I think that's reasonable. I have to imagine, Scotty, the plan could be trade away Brett Gardner this winter and give Clint Frazier that left field job, or give Ellsbury the left field job, move Frazier to center. But Frazier, I have to imagine they expect him to start next year with Gardner traded for pieces.
Yeah, we've been hearing about this Gardner trade for years.
But now they have a ready-made replacement, though. That's the difference.
Yeah. It's like, I'll believe it when I see it still, even though all the reasons are there.
Hey, hour number one is down. Hour number two comes your way. When we come back, we're going to check in on my buddy Timmy Anderson and see how things are going in Chicago. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming up next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Parson, Engel, Modica, and Sussman with you. One more hour to go. G's are up next. Old School Fantasy. They will get you rolling. 10 to 11. Now, around this table, it's not a round table, it's a rectangular table, but around the table, I was vastly criticized for my decision to drop one Tim Anderson. Corey has told me every day since, like, you're making a mistake, Greg, pick him back up. That's what he said. I'm like, you know what? I'm good. Scotty, of course, for, you know, now going on 2 years, he's all been about Tim Anderson. Now he deserves this contract extension. He's really good. You're going to regret cutting him this summer. Like, I'm telling you, Tim Anderson's going to have a lot of the speed and power combination. You're going to want him on your fantasy team. Matt said, listen, I get he's struggling right now, but I think you should hold on. Like, don't make any rapid decisions here on Tim Anderson. Here's the Tim Anderson update straight from RotoWorld.com. Tim Anderson went 0-4 yesterday and is 2-for-21 in his last five games. It looked like he was coming out of a season opening slump during the latter stages of last month, where he went 9-for-22 with a homer and two RBI in five games. But now his average is back under 200. The White Sox won't bench him, but they need to get him away from the top of the order and at least stop rewarding him from his hacktastic approach at the plate, where he's walked just three times in 110 plate appearances. Needless to say, it's May 4th, and I don't regret dropping him for one single minute.
Well, here's two parts of the sentence.
Please.
It's May 4th.
Yes.
He's hit 154 over the past week. He started to slump again.
Yes.
We knew coming in from last year that he wasn't going to walk much. But I don't think I have yet to make a final judgment on Tim Anderson on May 4th. I think this guy is athletic. I think he's a good hitter. I think he's only going to get better as the season goes on. If you tell me, if you read me this update on August 24th.
It's too late by now,
August 20th? You want me to play this schmuck until August 24th?
No, but what I'm saying is I'm getting to a point here.
Okay, please.
I'm not ready to make a final judgment on Tim Anderson and say that I'm wrong about it here on May 4th. You know, I'm not going to do that yet.
But August 24th is way too late.
No, but
opinion.
What I'm saying is forget the date I threw out. If you tell me on July 14th to read me this update, you're making it sound like Tim Anderson is like, his season is finished. He's a failure. That's it. It's over. I don't regret it. If Tim Anderson starts picking it up, say, the middle of this month or even the end of this month, I think he could still do that.
Here's the problem. Does Tim Anderson have a pedigree?
Does he have a pedigree? Not in the majors yet.
Yeah, you see, that's the problem.
This was the problem entering the season, was the plate discipline. He's never had it, but he is, like I said, the thing that encouraged me, I drafted Tim Anderson in a lot of spots. But I also drafted an Asdrubal Cabrera, a Brandon Crawford later on, because I was concerned about this. But I still believe he's going to steal another 20 bases this season, hit probably at least another 8 home runs. The average was something I was never really sold on due to the plate discipline, but his BABIP is only 250. This is a guy that can run like the wind. That will get up. I expect he's going to be in a 12-team league. I don't blame you if you cut him, you know. But in a 15-team league, he is not on any waiver wires. He's not going on any waiver wires.
It's interesting. I know it's a 12-team league, I was going to say, because I thought rotisserie. Oh, man, this team's really struggling. Maybe I should pick up Tim Anderson if he's available. But this team is, I have to say, he's available in a 15-team league. He's not. He's available in another 12-team league that I'm in. I just can't. I get being patient, Scott, but you can only be patient to a fault, and he's really
hurt. You have to remember Sculpt,
though.
Just
to make my point, Kevin Kiermaier's batting 200.
I know. I want to drop him, too.
I'm going to go down with that ship. It's 1 month. I mean, I try and point out, look at Mike Napoli last year from May on. The guy hit 30 homers, 90 RBIs, 80 runs. Guys like Justin Turner didn't start hitting until June. Brian Dozier went apeshit from June on, too. I mean, you just... If there's guys you had reasons to believe in, and the thing I like about Anderson, the main goal about Anderson to me is the speed. He's not going anywhere. He signed that 5-year deal. Mm-hmm. Moncada's probably coming up. Hey, well, the White Sox, whether they keep Todd Frazier or not, which he's probably getting traded, they are going to have a ton of strikeouts in that lineup. I mean, as good as Moncada's batting over 300 in the minors, and he's got like a handful of homers and a handful of stolen bases, but he's got like 30 strikeouts and like 90 at-bats, so...
And we got to remember Scope again once we talk about Vantage Point. You're talking head-to-head. I'm playing in all rotisserie, too.
But he's crushing you in rotisserie, no matter what you're playing in it.
I would bench him. I wouldn't cut him.
You talk about one-category players.
Oh, did you see that one-category player hit a 3-run homie?
That's not possible. He's a one-category guy.
We'll talk about that. Anderson will give you some pop.
On the other side of the break, it's Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So I've been told that, you know, Tim Anderson, not a one-category player. He can has some power, has some speed. I don't know what else he does, but okay. But
he's going to hit for batting average. some point.
When?
I think it'll come up.
What do you think? What do you think he'll finish with this year, average wise?
I say because of the slow start, I was thinking 280, but now I'm thinking more 265.
Can I bet on that?
What?
Can we make a bet on that?
Who's going to have a higher average, Tim Anderson or Billy Hamilton?
I like this.
I'll take Billy Hamilton.
I'll take Tim Anderson.
Okay.
I like this.
What are y'all going to bet?
What do you want to bet?
What do you want to bet?
Lap dance.
No. 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 I also pass the match, bro.
I can't see Greg doing that.
What is with these two people? What must have been a lap dance and what must have been a left testicle? What is wrong with them?
I know, right?
So immature. These two people.
Maturity.
So immature.
About lunch and bread and butter. How's
lunch,
that?
Lunch, bread and butter. It's perfect. Yeah. And at the end of the season, Billy Hamilton versus Tim Anderson.
I've been wanting you to show me what bread and butter is all about.
Where is bread and butter?
Yeah, I was say, where is bread and butter? Because I wanted to go there.
Just open around the corner, right? But right,
literally, it's on 7th Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And I know you don't go right.
You know where Burger King is, Corey?
8th Avenue is where it's grimy at.
Yeah,
7th Avenue is corporate.
Yeah. You know where Burger King is, right?
Yeah.
It's like two doors before. You're right. That 8th Avenue McDonald's. Yeah.
I go in Starbucks or McDonald's. Oh.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's next like the Burger King on 7th Avenue between 35th and 36th.
I think I saw Marvin Harrison in that McDonald's.
I'm not commenting.
We don't touch those things.
I'm not commenting.
Let me stick to the White Sox and the Royals for a second because Nate Carter is really, really well. And I have to ask if it matters to us. Six innings, one hit, seven strikeouts. Scott, does this matter to you?
He's been very inconsistent. I think there was a good matchup. Like Tony pointed out, an excellent point this morning. Like the White Sox kill lefties, but most righties can mow them away. I think this was a matchup kind of thing, streamer kind of thing.
I mean, I was more impressed with Carnes pitching six innings. That's been his bugaboo. His whole career. He's a guy that can't go through the lineup three times. I have him in only like a couple of leagues, more like deeper ones. And I was actually forced to actually put him in the lineup. And it worked out this week. He had a nice matchup. But he's a guy in a deeper league. Like, he's your seventh starter and stuff. Matchup guy.
Yeah, because you look at his game log, he's been very consistent this year.
I mean,
year.
He does have some upside, like his ability, but he has not been able to figure out that third time.
Just two hits total for the White Sox last night. One for Jose Abreu, which was a deep one in the ninth inning off of Matt Strom.
He's really heated up lately.
He's gotten much hotter since the last couple of weeks.
Since April ended, he's turned it on.
Yeah, yeah. It's batting 263 now. That's only rising. So Jose Abreu looks right. And Melky also had a hit and a walk. Those are the only two guys to reach base last night for the Chicago White Sox. Now,
nothing for Avisail Garcia.
I feel like you just want to say the name Avisail. Is that fair?
You are absolutely correct.
The White Sox should definitely be looking to trade Jose Abreu as well. I mean, that's another guy.
And they're going to trade Frazier too.
Yes, absolutely. And probably trade Melky as well, for the record. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati is obviously where we're headed next. I know, Scott, you were talking a lot about Ricky Davis yesterday. Jameson Taillon's been a hot name. But we're going to start with a man whose average is only rising, folks. And that's Billy Hamilton. He was 1-for-5 with a 3-run bomb yesterday.
That was his first home run since last June.
Yes. And it'll be his last home run.
And he's got 4 in the last year, and all of them against the NL Central.
How about that?
He does play the NL Central.
There you go.
Familiarity.
Billy Hamilton with his first home run of the season. No stolen bases.
He didn't steal a base.
That was his only time on base. He had a home run, so he was tired. Eugenio Suarez hit his 6th home run of the year.
Eugenio.
Isn't it Eugenio?
Eugenio.
I feel it was Eugenio.
Eugenio.
That's what I said.
Yes,
Scott disagrees with me.
How about Andrew McCutchen with his 5th homer last night?
How about Andrew McCutchen with his 5th homer last night?
And I was the person on record saying that I would take Gregory Polanco hands down. I mean, McCutchen's only batting 235, Polanco 229.
It is Eugenio. I was right.
But Polanco, unfortunately, has done nothing but steal 6 bases. So hopefully things turn around.
That's okay.
Eugenio.
Right. Eugenio Suarez.
Yes. Yeah.
We were a lot closer when all the people would just go, Eugenio.
Right? Yeah,
that's what everybody does.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. How about this, Corey? The guy you drafted hit a home run last night.
Adam Duvall?
Devin Mesoraco.
Oh, that's
his
son of a
first gun. Home run since September of 2014.
Oh my God. That's a crazy stat. I didn't know that. That's crazy. Wow, that's a wild stat. Matches mentioned, Gregory Polanco, still a base, batting 229, which has been bad. McCutcheon, batting 235, which is bad, but at least he does have those five home runs. Pitching-wise, Scott, you talked a lot about Rookie Davis, I believe, yesterday. And you were saying that, from what I was listening, that Rookie Davis hadn't gone longer than four innings, I believe, in any start, you said. Yesterday,
I don't think that was me, actually.
That wasn't you? Maybe that was,
no. Maybe that was Jake.
It might have been Jake. I thought it was you, though.
Yeah. Was the person, like, yelling?
No.
Okay, so it wasn't Jake.
No. Yeah. I guess maybe they were just talking about Rookie Davis. I don't know. For some reason, I thought it was you. But Rookie Davis has not gone longer than four innings on his start. Yesterday, he does go five. It actually pitches five shutout innings. Four hits, three runs. Only struck out two for his first win of his career. On the other side of things, Corey Jameson Taillon, five innings, eight hits, six runs. Did strike out six. Seems like more than anything a blip in the radar for Jameson Taillon.
Well, what do we think about Jameson Taillon, though? Because he was a guy that we talked about a lot throughout the course of the month of February and March, and we were getting ready for the season. So far, 2-1, you know what I mean? 331 earned run average, struck out six yesterday. Has Jameson Taillon kind of lived up to the expectations?
I think so. I mean, yeah. People were saying he might be the best pitcher for the Pirates this season. I'm still a Gerrit Cole guy, mm-hmm. but Taillon has lived up to the expectations. This is a really talented arm. He's healthy. Last season, he came on the scene. The main, I guess, thing for him this season would be continuing to stay healthy. And with Cole and him, that's a really nice 1-2 punch. And then you add Ivan Nova over there. It's a shame because the Pirates got, three really good pitchers.
Well, it's interesting, Scott, that Matt thinks like he kind of lived up the expectations because his first three starts, brilliant, right? Seven innings shutout ball.
Two shutouts.
Six innings, two-run ball. Seven innings, one run, but it was, unearned.
Yeah.
So really, really good. But his last three starts, he hasn't pitched six innings. So five and a third, five, let up four runs, let up six runs. I know the strikeouts have been there, and I know this is really the first time he got bombed this year, I would say. But, he's not really giving you the length over the last couple of starts, Scotty.
No, he hasn't, but I'm not worried about him. Two of the last three starts have not been good. Last night, and then April 22nd against the Yankees, five and a third, four runs, but the control has been good. He hasn't walked more than three in a game. The strikeouts, he's had three starts of six strikeouts and 3-4. He's not quite got the consistency, but when you look, the whip is only 117, 30 and a third innings pitch, 26 hits allowed. I feel like Taillon's just going to get better. If somebody's panicking because two of the last three starts have not been good, I would buy on Taillon right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the metrics and stuff and everything, I think Taillon would be a guy to buy on, like Scott said. A guy like Dylan Bundy, who is getting it done, and three times against the Red Sox, twice at Fenway, he's pitched revenue. But his advanced metrics are saying maybe you should be selling. So just a little something to consider.
The final score, of course, was 7-2. The Reds actually get the win. Hey, the Reds are 13-14 this year.
Not playing too bad.
They're not playing too bad.
If I'm a Reds fan, I'm excited about that.
Jose Peraza hasn't been too good, though.
No, Jose Peraza is a name that we hope to have a really nice year. Peraza has actually been dropped in the order about seventh last night.
Yeah.
It was 3-4. Which was good, of course. 248 average, 275 OBP. It's been a struggle. Why Eumenny Suarez has actually been really, really good. So, I know those are two guys that people are really interested in. I think they sold themselves on Peraza after the Phillips trade. But it was Suarez that stepped up. Other side of that, the power guys, Adam Duvall last night was 2-for-4, so seven pitches in his four at bats. While Scotty Scheffler was 0-for-4 last night.
And by the way, Zach Cozart's average has dropped about 160 points in the last 2 weeks.
Tell me about it. Welcome to my team.
The thing with Jose Peraza was I was in on him when he was going around Tim Anderson's draft price and stuff like that. Then once that trade happened,
once they traded BP, he got the ADP shot up fifth round.
I wanted no part of that.
Yeah,
I think Peraza. If they stick with him, he's going to steal the bases, and his average will get better.
Yeah, I agree. Who would you rather have, Sky, the rest of the way? Jose Peraza or Tim Anderson?
I like Peraza a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Peraza can hit for higher average.
All right, fair enough. When we return here on the Roto Experts in the morning, I want to get to Boston, right? Boston and Baltimore, where Kevin Gausman, who has really been struggling, didn't have a chance to struggle last night. But he was thrown out almost instantly. We'll get the guy's reaction to the ejection, as well as talking about Baltimore's pitching and the game in Boston when we return here on the Roto Experts in the morning. In Boston with his Orioles series, right?
It's wild.
Starting with Adam Jones on Monday, moving to Manny Machado last night, or sorry, Tuesday night, and then last night, after an inning, Kevin Gausman gets thrown out. He threw a curveball, hit a guy, and then was thrown out because of all the tensions that have arisen. Given that it was a curveball, given that there wasn't a clear intent, were you surprised that they made the decision to throw him out, Corey?
No, I think they want to nip this in the bud early when these two teams get started. Obviously, we know at some point there's going to be a bench clearance situation between these two teams before the season is over. I feel like they need to get it off their chest, you feel what I'm saying?
Right.
And go ahead and figure out what they need to do so we can get past it. Obviously, with all the attention being drawn into this series throughout the first part of this week, I think the umpires would be very quick, you know what I mean? And you see any foolishness, we gotta get rid of it early. So there you go right there.
Yeah, it was interesting that the Gausman was so animated, and Caleb Joseph, the catcher, was just like livid last night. And they spoke to him after the game. He said, "I am so sick of this. No, I want to get out of Boston right now. I cannot get out of Boston fast enough. I wish the series was done today. I just want to play baseball."
Well, his point
was 77 mile an hour curveball.
Yeah, he said, "Gausman throws 97."
He threw a
77 mile an hour curveball. I mean, it's getting a little ridiculous. I know some people believe pitchers should never throw at batters and all this, and you know, peace, love, and kumbaya and all that great stuff. But I'm a fan of pitching inside. I'm a fan of my base runners running hard to second base, taking out the middle infielder. This is baseball. You know, it's not kids playing in a park. I mean, I want to see guys with spirit. What Chris Sale did the other day in the dugout, saying this is war, not game. I love that.
I want to make a comment, follow-up comment, and I got a question for you. Okay, to your point, Joseph says, we don't have guys like Chris Sale over here. We have guys that have to mix their pitches. They don't throw as hard as Chris Sale. You like all that stuff. How did you feel about the whole Ruben Hada, Chase Utley thing when it happened?
We didn't mention him yesterday, Matt, with baseball villains. How do we leave Chase Utley off the list?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, he was going in. I really wasn't like, oh, my God. You know, they changed the whole rule and all that. Hey, look, I could see maybe if you're going outside of the bag, like way outside of the bag to hurt, you know, to do that, then I could say I have a problem. I don't like this sliding past the base crap or anything like that. I want to see, like, what Machado did. I don't care if his spikes were up. He's sliding into the base hard. He's going directly into the base. He wasn't like outside of the baseline where he couldn't make contact with the base, which happened so often and happened in that Chase Utley type play. So I'm all for it. And as catchers back in the day, Mike Socha blocked home plate for years. He was like the best at doing that. He knew how to block home plate. They don't teach a lot of basics anymore. That's part of the problem with baseball.
I think That Chase Utley play was dirty. That might be the dirtiest play I've ever seen, that Chase Utley play.
No, I mean, Albert Bell, Fran Dovinha.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was pretty bad. By the way, because Ubaldo Jimenez had to pitch in relief yesterday, they don't know who's going to start for the Orioles today. I say they pitch Machado.
The funny thing is, Machado has been like the villain in the past and like a punk. But I think he's 100% right this time around. And look, he handled it pretty well. He's been thrown at a lot.
He's been in the league, nobody's been hit more than him.
And Matt Barnes, the problem was Matt Barnes should have got a severe suspension because he threw mid-90s at his head. I mean, that's like, you know, I'm all for throwing inside and stuff like that, or guys charging the mound. You don't throw at anybody's head.
One more question. How did you feel when Clemens hit Piazza in the head?
Oh, I was pissed. The Met dugout should have came running out there. No, seriously.
With bats.
did you ever hear, I read this in Rich Catino's book, a longtime Mets radio reporter, Press Box Revolution, which is great. He said that if the 2000 World Series would have went one more game and would have went back to Yankee Stadium, the Mets had a plan for Lenny Harris to lead off. Do you remember Lenny Harris?
Yeah.
Big dude for the Mets. Lenny Harris was going to lay down a bunt and charge Clemens on the mound.
But that should have been done before.
Yeah.
That should have been
What ifs? To me, if they wanted to do that, they could have done it any day. Any game.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did he need to wait? It wasn't when Clemens. It wasn't when Clemens nailed Piazza in the head. They should have charged him. Of course, Sean Estes missed him years later.
That was one of the most Met things ever.
When Clemens came up to bat
years
that
later
day at Shea, and that was like I was furious
because Torrey refused to let him pitch at Shea for years. And at some point, he was just like, you know what, let's get over this crap. Pitched him, and he was ready to take a ball in the gut, and Estes missed him.
I was pissed enough when they acquired Sean Estes. So.
I'll always remember that. But anyway, when they should have charged him out was when Clemens threw a bat at Piazza. Yeah. That's when you should have the entire dugout come out.
Yeah, but the reasoning was, though, you don't want to get thrown out of a World Series game, though.
And Clemens isn't a small boy.
That's why they were going to have Lenny Harris do that.
So have Lenny Harris come rush them out from the dugout and get thrown out.
Lenny Harris was
disposable. All I know is the 86 Mets, if that crap would have been pulled on them.
Ray Knight would have knocked them out. It would have happened and it went down.
Clemens threw a bat at a guy.
Yeah, no.
Like, are you kidding me?
He was just throwing the bat out the way.
No, I think he was throwing a bat at a guy. He had roid rage and he threw a bat at
him. Roid rage, yeah.
100%.
I disagree with that.
That whole World Series.
Because you're being a fan.
I'm not being a fan. I don't think that.
You can watch the video. He threw it at him.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'm being a fan.
Do you know how many times how Clemens got pissed?
I think he was throwing the bat out the way.
Watch the video. Clemens was really pissed because Piazza owned him.
Piazza
came up against him, he would hit a home run. And Clemens just couldn't seem to get him out.
I was more outraged when he hit him in the head and nothing was done. I don't care if you got to hit the next four batters.
Fact is you hit Derek Jeter the next time he comes up. That's what it is.
And if Derek Jeter would have got hit in the head, Mets would have been getting plunked left and right.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. No question about it. I don't know how we got on a Jeter and Piazza conversation 20 years later.
We started talking about, dirty things in baseball.
That crazy interview Jeter and A-Rod did?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't catch that. What happened?
Uncomfortably, though.
I didn't think it was real. Remember?
I thought it was like
A-Rod was interviewing.
I was waiting
Jeter?
For somebody to be like, live from New York. It's Saturday night.
Yeah, A-Rod was interviewing Jeter.
No. They were interviewed together.
Yeah.
And what was the part of?
It wasn't a sports thing. It was maybe it was CNBC or something like
something
that.
Like that,
yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was just. Low.
I'll have to watch that when I go home.
Drew Pomeranz pitched really well, actually, for the Red Sox last night. 5 1/3, 2 runs allowed, 7 strikeouts.
I mean, Pomeranz was a guy coming into the season that when he went to Fenway, he couldn't pitch well. I mean, he had like a 6 or 7 ERA in his starts at Fenway. I kind of broke it down before the season started. And on the road, he pitched well, but he's made 4 starts at Fenway, except for 1 start against the Rays. He's pitched really well. I mean, the strikeouts have been there. He's not gone really deep into games. That's been the biggest bugaboo, and
durability.
He does have that health issue, but this is one of the things I take away from this game.
A couple of stolen bases last night for Boston, which is interesting. Xander Bogaerts steals his 3rd. Mookie Betts steals his 4th of the season.
And it was scary because of Betts. You were glad to see him steal the base because on the play before, he got hit with the throw in the knee. And he looked like he was in great pain, but to his credit, he stayed in the game and stole the base.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. Somebody tweeted out that he was writhing. It looked like he was really injured and then stole the base.
It was just like he just got hit by the baseball in the knee, and he had to get over the pain, get back up, and steal a base.
Yeah, he was faking it. No, I'm never going to run.
I mean, how about
I'm never going to run again. Then he just took off. And it was like, what? I thought you was hurt.
I'm never going to run again.
Yeah, then I'm going. Oh, that's crazy.
What is that voice he was just doing?
Now go run again.
Android Sorry. Devices.
Oh, stop it.
All right, the Nationals beat Arizona last night 2-1. I know something you wanted to talk about, Matt. Gio goes 5 innings, walks 6 dudes. 8 strikeouts for Gio Gonzalez. And then they bring the guy that I expected at least to start for Joe Ross, and that was Jacob Turner. Now, remember, Turner, former top prospect, we spoke about him a couple of days ago, and we saw Joe Ross got sent down. And he pitched really well in his first start this year in Colorado. He comes in the 6th inning in this game and doesn't allow a single run to cross the plate. 4 innings, 2 hits. He strikes out 4 batters, throws 54 pitches. Jacob Turner is now a name that I'm going to have to ask the table, should we be picking him up?
I don't know, because the report is that A.J. Cole's going to make the next start.
Yeah, well, I'll look at it like this. If he's available, I'm going to put something maybe small on him. Just the fact that he's a national, if he gets into the Nationals rotation, this is a former 9th overall pick of the Tigers. The Tigers rushed this kid up way too soon. The fact that he's only 25 is kind of mind-boggling. I feel like this kid's been around forever. I mean, Jacob Turner, I'm honestly, little disclaimer, him and A.J. Cole, I'm going to root against because I need Joe Ross to come back. But this game, on many levels, the pitching. One thing, Gio Gonzalez, that line is like 7 walks, 8 strikeouts, 3 hits, 1 run only. That's crazy. But Gio did the same thing last year. He had a great April, and then from May on, it went south. I kind of expect him to have a nice pullback going forward. I mean, I don't think he'll be terrible, but I don't think he's really going to be that good. And I do own some Robbie Ray shares, but I have a feeling at the end of the season, I'm going to wish I owned a lot more.
As far as that Jacob Turner thing goes, good points. But, you know, with Gio, it's just like coming into last night, he had 11 walks in his first 5 starts, and then he has that kind of Gio game that comes out of nowhere, and he loses all control, and he starts walking the park. As far as Turner, I agree with you. Maybe put a buck or two on it, but he hasn't done anything yet to impress me. Yeah, he's got the pedigree of being the high pick, but he hasn't done nothing. With Gio, he just drives you crazy like that.
Yeah, I'm going to need a pitcher because I'm about to lose Cole. Yeah, but I lost Cole.
The thing with Turner, the only reason I would even like to say he's a deep league spec, but I'm looking in a season where Trevor Cahill, J.C. Ramirez, these are all names that, you know, we're all...
Derek Holland.
And just look, out of the top 6 pitchers this season, 3 of them right now are currently on the DL. Syndergaard, Bumgarner, and Kluber.
Just like that. Literally just like that. For the Arizona Diamondbacks last night, Robbie Ray's a name that we all spoke about.
You didn't say it right.
Robbie Ray!
I waited all morning for
he
that.
He got so annoyed.
He was pissed. I was like, what the hell did I do?
I love when you say
Robbie Ray. 6 innings. He had struck out 10. We'll talk more about Chris Owens, AJ Pollock, Ryan Zimmerman, because we talk about Ryan Zimmerman every day. Washington Nationals, we'll dive into more, as well as something I know Corey's going to find very interesting. We'll do it next. The Road Experts. Robbie Ray and the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Not today, Scott.
Fell to the Nats, 2-1. And Ray pitched very well. 10 strikeouts, only walked 1 guy. 2 runs scored. 4 hits, 100 pitches. Really nice game from Robbie Ray. And this is what we've been waiting for, a game like this. We know you can strike guys out, but it's the control where he only walked 1 guy. It was very impressive to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's the strikeouts. He was right there with among the league leaders. Him and Thor had the same amount last season. The whip was frightening. And like you said, the whole thing was, could he? He was a guy that if he made that correction, that next step is going to pay off you. Look, it's only a month. This was a really good start. Look what we talked about yesterday. The Nationals scored like 75 runs or something crazy in the last week. They were one of the hottest offense, one of the best lineups in baseball, and he did a hell of a job.
2 games with 10 strikeouts this year, 3 with 9, 4 with 8, and you talk about the walks, okay? There was a 2-game stretch, his 2nd and 3rd start, where he had 9. All the others, 3 or less. So that 143 whip, I think it's coming down because he's only given up 24 hits in 30 and a third innings. You know, he's pitched good. This is what we've waited for. He's only 25 years old.
The Chris Owings hits his fifth home run of the year. He's been very hot. Love him in the two hole. We say it every day, and it's awesome. An OBP at 358. Also got caught stealing, so it could have been another home run and a steal night for Chris Owings. It wasn't. Ryan Zimmerman gets his 30th ribby of the year. It's May 4th. He has 30 RBI.
Yeah, he's just everything we spoke about him changing the line, the dangle, and everything has worked well. Look at the Arizona lineup. Pollock's hitting 316. Owings hitting 313. Goldschmidt hitting 313. Lamb's hitting 277. And
Tomas.
You got Tomas hitting 275. Drury. And he's cooled off. Drury's now starting to heat up, and he's hitting 315. This is a good lineup.
Yo, hold on. Yo, this Goldschmidt, shouldn't he, like, be in the conversation for going 1-1 in drafts?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he should be in the conversation.
Because how many first basemen, like, steal that many bases? How many steals he got so far?
This guy's on base percentage is 460.
I think he has seven.
Yeah.
Eight.
It's ridiculous.
You got eight?
Yeah, eight.
For first baseman, it's ridiculous.
460 is OBP. This is crazy. This guy's backed up.
Yeah. And you know what, though? I'd like to say one thing about Goldschmidt, too. He's like, when I go to the ballpark, there's a lot of, like, superstar guys who, like, will not give you that time. Goldschmidt will give everybody time.
Scotty always reads for who talks to him. Love it. I respect it. I would do the same thing.
I respect it. There are certain guys who are superstars who, like, don't have that air about it. Like
who? Like,
you know, that's definitely good to hear. You want to hear that there's good people
out
there.
Matt Harvey won't talk to anybody, thinks he's a superstar. Bryce Harper, only certain people can approach his locker.
Bryce Harper is kind of a superstar, Scott.
Yeah, but so is Paul Goldschmidt.
He's not Bryce Harper.
But still, we're talking superstars here.
Yeah, Bryce Harper's like a superstar, Scott.
Giancarlo Stanton's only going to talk to certain people. These guys at the top level of the game.
Don't worry, Scotty. Aaron Judge will talk to you.
I don't know. I haven't talked to Judge yet. Andrew McCutchen will not give you great quotes, but he's always approachable.
And there's the rundown from the King.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper, superstar, though.
Superstar. Before we get to more baseball, I got to bring a football note up, because I think Corey will find it really interesting. Pro Football Talk just reported that the Raiders and Marshawn Lynch plan to collaborate on the merchandising efforts on Marshawn Lynch's Beast Mode line.
I love it.
Marshawn Lynch. And you wanted to know why Marshawn Lynch came back to play football.
Marshawn Lynch money. Is getting paid. Marshawn Lynch.
And he saves all his money. Too.
I guess Benny was right when he was talking about the silver and black Skittles.
Marshawn Lynch don't play. Marshawn Lynch is about that bag, so he's going to go in there and more or less have the Oakland Raiders black and silver distribute his Beast Mode brand.
Correct.
That is crazy.
He's going to get paid whatever, $3 million or whatever, to play football, and then here's how he's going to make the real money. This is why he's coming back.
Yeah, no doubt.
He was into the merchandising thing before he came back.
And clearly Beast Mode wasn't off the ground and needs the Raiders' help.
And there's reports that, like, he saved all that money. Yeah. He hasn't spent any of it either.
Maybe he'll go on to become like a mogul like Michael Jordan. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, Michael Jordan is a shoe mogul now. Like, that's his thing. Like, you can forget he's an NBA, like, one of the best NBA player ever. He's like a shoe mogul. That's crazy.
Yeah, people maybe still like go Magic after
Johnson
the
on a bunch of Fridays.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Theaters.
Yeah.
And Marshawn Lynch. Good for Marshawn Lynch, though. Good for Beast Mode. I love to see that.
I
like the fact that he's motivated.
Yeah,
that's the key to me with Marshawn Lynch.
Is he motivated?
I think so. Look, if he wants to play in his hometown, and he's got a really good team, I don't know. I don't think he's coming back unless he really wants this for all whatever reasons it is, the merchandising and all that kind of stuff. He's got to put a lot of work.
This is interesting because, like, I knew you, but we weren't talking on the radio. The Super Bowl years when he would go to the podium and not say nothing. Did you have a problem with that?
No, I mean, look, everybody's their own individual. I think by him not saying anything, he made it a story.
Yeah,
and it was more of that whole Tuesday, the media day. It's such a joke. I do hate the 2-week layoff.
Everybody outside of the media was laughing when he kept saying, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
But see, the thing, my thing is, if you're a Super Bowl meet, do you really need a story from Marshawn Lynch?
Exactly.
It's a billion things going on.
What's he going to give you?
You're right. He's not going to give you anything.
He's not Sherman. you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Seahawks got people that's going to talk and give him stuff to write about. Yeah.
What he should have did was do something with Skittles and just have like a bunch of Skittles. Yeah. And nobody can understand anything.
You know what, yeah, I could see that. Like, just like forming his answers in Skittles. Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, man, you didn't have a problem with it, did you, Greg?
I did, because I did have a problem with it, just because being such an a-hole about it.
Mm-hmm.
That was what bothered me. It was just like, listen, you want to answer a question? Like, just say, listen, I don't want to say anything. I'm supposed to hear, the whole RR just pissed me off. Sending Michael Robinson out there to talk for him. Like, you know what? It's your job, dude. It's part of your job.
Okay.
It's part of the reporter's job to ask you questions.
It's like Belichick when he gets those questions and he just like kind of brushes everything.
Fine, so go up there and say nothing, right?
Like, yeah, no, I hear
you. You don't have to be an a-hole about it.
He should at least go there, but I mean.
Belichick goes up there and he sits there and he pouts and says nothing repeatedly. That's all I want Marshawn Lynch.
Popovich, yep.
Sure. That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Noah Syndergaard got into it with the media last week.
Right, he yelled at Jay Harwich, and he screamed at Jay Harwich, which is BS.
But you know what? That whole thing was getting escalated and he. I'm not defending him. You're 100% right. He was out of line. But the Mets need to start protecting there. You know, don't even. He refused an MRI. He was all pissed off. Why? You know, I don't know.
I was talking about this morning. I've seen him like build up at the media his frustration with it. Like the last 2 years before this year, I found Syndergaard to be a very approachable guy. I helped him with his fantasy football teams. I went out to Citi Field. I said, "Hey, can we talk Friday?" And figured everything was cool, you know. I saw him at the Christmas party. We talked and everything. He goes, "Go talk to Jay." I was like, "Wow!" And then I saw him at a press conference where they were asking about his blister, and he was getting all testy with the media.
Did he go to the podium for the press conference? Oh, was he in the locker room?
This was a press conference early in the year. And he got so aggravated with questions about his blister, and then he blew up last week about. He doesn't like getting questions about his health. He gets very aggravated.
And see, at that point, if I was Jay, I would be like, you know what? Tomorrow, you're going to the podium tomorrow.
You're going to sit down. It's a maturity thing with this guy. And secondly, you know, Jay didn't do anything from what I understand.
Oh, Jay's scared. Yeah. But I'd have been like, no, you're going to go to the podium and you're going to talk to them right from the podium. So it ain't going to be no locker room. This is your chance. Let them ask whatever they want to ask. You go to the podium and since you want to refuse MRIs, take your ass to the podium.
Yeah, and the Mets have just, with all the pitchers, everybody's gone to surgeries, mishandling of health, too.
It's like the damn Knicks. I hate to say it.
The Knicks.
Well, at least they win, though. The Mets do have some winning in them. The Knicks don't win at all.
The Knicks, your Knicks. Like, the Knicks are very controlling with the media. It's just like you can't get. It's impossible to get one on ones.
Yeah, it is.
You want one on one with Phil Jackson?
Scott, totally. No. Look at this wire that he's done.
Yeah,
it's all tangled now. I'm sorry.
It's a bad habit of mine.
Yeah, there's worse habits.
Rooting for the Mets.
You root for the Knicks, though. It's the same thing. That's worse than rooting for the Mets. You're Knicks. At least, though, it's like I'm a loyal Mets fan. I can't say that about you.
Quick announcement here. Today's Detroit Tigers-Cleveland Indians game has already been rained out.
Oh, that was the first one. I thought we were going to have some lineups for old school.
Yeah, that was an early start. It's already been rained out. It was a 1:10 start. It's already been rained out. Major rain in the Midwest. I know St. Louis actually pushed their game back to tonight in hopes of getting it in. But Cleveland and Detroit has already been rained out. That was supposed to be Fulmer and Danny Salazar, so make sure you get your Tigers and Indians out of the lineup.
Two of my pitchers on the same team.
You hate to see that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you do got the Reds and the Pirates. They'll be starting soon, so we'll have that lineup shortly.
Yeah, we got Nova going in that one. We got some good pitchers going. Scherzer. How are you feeling about Joe Musgrove today?
Not good. Not great. I'm starting him.
I'll roll Derek Holland out there in daily.
Yeah, it's very interesting, Scott. We brought up like a lot of guys, a lot of these scrubby guys, the Jacob Turners of the world, and some other people this week. And your fallback has always been Derek Holland, And I haven't personally seen it like what you're seeing. But what are you seeing about Derek Holland that makes you interested in throwing him out there in daily today?
He's going against the Royals. He's going to get blown up soon, but it ain't going to be today. So I'll use him in daily today.
Okay. So but in a season league, are you not picking up Derek Holland?
No, okay. I haven't. I saw a $4 bid for him in one of my leagues. And like, well, I'm glad I didn't bid $4 on that guy.
Corey, do you remember earlier in the year, it was like first weekend, I think, and Jared Weaver was in Colorado, and you're like, this is going to be the worst start ever.
Oh, that's what they were saying, and his score was 2-1?
Right.
Yeah.
Last night, he faced the Rockies again in San Diego this time.
Should have been easy peasy, right?
It was. For the Rockies.
They scored 11 runs. Jerry Weaver in San Diego.
Jerry Weaver let up 10.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
It's a lot of runs.
That's 13 home runs he's allowed this year.
He's very bad.
He's 3.3 home runs per nine, are the worst in the majors. He tweeted to the Padres fans, "Don't worry, Padres fans. We're gonna start sticking outfielders in the seats to catch all my home runs."
At least he has a sense of humor about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's guys like Jared
Jeff
Weaver,
never did.
Bronson Arroyo, Matt Latos. Like,
yeah.
Why are these guys still? I mean, we can't, they don't have anybody in the minor leagues that we can see or, you know.
In the stands?
That's a tryout.
Do got to give it up in this game for Colorado's Ian Desmond, who hits his first two home runs of the season.
Nice.
Comes back. He played first base last night for this team. He was 3-for-5. And hey, if you drafted Ian Desmond, Corey,
you got to feel good about this.
You get him back one month. Yep. You got him back
people
1 month.
People think he's
going to
be out longer.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now he hit a couple home runs here, Corey.
Nice. You got it. Was an excellent buying opportunity on draft day.
Now it's gone.
If you were brave enough to do so, now you are reaping the rewards of that. So shout out to all the owners out there that are. That took that risk
plunge
with Desmond, and then the guys that, you know, get him back in the lineup now. So Ian Desmond ready to rock and roll. I wish I had him.
And David Dahl still weeks away.
He's hit safely in each of his three games since he's come off the DL. I could see him circling like, okay, I come back and face Weaver. That would be
good. but you know what? I'm just saying that if you drafted Ian Desmond, we freaked out about this injury, and he came back a month in. Like, you're feeling awesome. When David Dahl, Tom Murphy, these guys aren't coming back anytime soon. Like, Dahl probably even after Murphy. And, like, you got to feel really, really good if you drafted Desmond right now.
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, I don't have Desmond. I stayed away after the injury. I went to him. I did draft Dahl in, like, one or two leagues because he dropped pretty far. And I'm hoping at some point this season he pays off a nice return on investment.
With Desmond, it was all about where you took him. And, you know, I'm sitting there in the 10th round. He's still there. I'll cue him up.
Yeah, but he really wasn't there. Like, when he fell, he didn't fall to the 10th round in the leagues I played.
I saw him go to the 10th round of one league.
He fell in the 9th in a league that I'm in. So, that's a great value there.
At that point, I'm interested.
In the just so we all have a league that we all play, and just to compare, Ian Desmond in the GST league goes in the, if my Google search works, Ian Desmond went in the 10th round.
That's the league I was talking about.
There you go. When we come back, we wrap up the show and send you into the OGs, old school fantasies. Up next, Roto Experts finishes it off right now.
Hi, this is Doc Gooden, and you're listening to The King, Scott Engel, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We're back here, all the Roto Experts in the morning, wrapping things up.
I feel like we should be running for a minute.
That's funny.
Feel like what?
Running through a maze.
Just a couple more baseball things I want to get to before we wrap up here. That was in L.A. and San Francisco, where Jeff Samardzija struck out 11 guys last night, only allowed 3 hits and 1 unearned run. Julio Urias, 5 innings, 4 hits, 4 walks, just struck out 1. Really, really great pitching performance from Jeff Samardzija, guys.
Yeah, if we see something like that again this year, I'm going to be shocked.
I think, you know, I don't own Samardzija this season, but I think he has a role on fantasy rotations. I think, you know, I looked at him as like a 380-ish, around 4 ERA kind of pitcher. He's going to give you the innings. One thing I do like this season.
You want a 4 ERA guy in San Francisco?
I want, in deeper leagues, you need guys. I mean, the ERA's gone up every year these last couple of seasons, and it's now like, what, around 4.15. I think it's only going to go higher as the season goes on because the home runs are going to. He's not a guy to take on lightly, But he has been striking guys out repeatedly this season. So that's one good sign.
I have no confidence in the guy. You talk so much about your sixth and seventh pitchers, and you constantly identify a ton of guys I would rather have than Jeff Samardzija.
But if at the end of the season he's got, say he has a 4.00 ERA.
I might be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can.
He's going to strike out a lot of guys, but at what cost? What else is going? He's going to hurt my ERA. Probably he's going to hurt my WHIP.
No, but my point is the home runs are only going as we get warmer. That's going to skyrocket. I think Samardzija has a place. In my opinion, he's a 380 to low fours pitcher, and in an era where we're looking at ERAs, average ERAs of 430. I think this year it's 415-ish or something like that. So that's still better than average.
What was Samardzija's ERA last year? His ERA is 5 right now.
Okay, but then, look, Kenta Maeda is over 5. Quintana's like 4.7.
Well, I think Quintana will get better. And you made a lot of good cases for why Maeda will get better. But, you know,
Samardzija has, look, he in his games, the one thing I will say for the most part, he just can't avoid, he needs to avoid that blow up inning. I'm not trying to defend Jeff Samardzija. I don't own Jeff Samardzija. I think though, look, I think he could repeat last season. It's a 381 ERA. The strikeouts were less than 7.5. Right now it's 10.5. So and the walks per nine are good. Look at the last three seasons. His walks per nine is very good. So I mean, my point is, he's not the pitcher that he was in 2015. I don't think he's that. I don't think he's the pitcher when he pitched, you know, when everybody was buying the hype. I think maybe I bought in for a little bit.
2014, yeah. All right.
I just think he's got
to make
a
good case.
If that's my thing.
I might be wrong there.
I'm not saying I'm right neither.
And there you go. That's it. We're done. Come up next, it's the Old School Fantasy Hour with Matt Modica, George Kurtz, and Corey Parson. For Scott, for Corey, for Matt, I'm Greg. Have a wonderful rest of your Thursday. We'll be back right here tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Bye-bye from the Roto Experts.